If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Oh, sweet. There's tape moving from reel to reel. We got this. This is The Boop Show for January 19th, 2021 with Scott and Brian. Everyone, welcome to the Boop Show. This is the Boop Show for the day I already said, so I'm not going to tell you again, but it's the 19th. And that means that we're here to talk about video games with me, Scott Johnson, him, Brian Dunaway, and he's got on his hat with his puffy balls and all that. Do that. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Got a puffy ball hat.
You can't not wear it now. Now we're used to it.
I enjoy it. There was actually one with some LED lights in it. Same one, just has LED lights in it. I think I want that one as well. RGB lights, excuse me.
All right. Next time I'm starting to feel a little under... I'm not as cool. I gotta do something.
Oh, you're so cool, Scott, but hats are my thing.
All right, hold on. What if I pulled this up? Hey, look, everybody. I got this cup that's got human teeth in it, and it's scary. Ooh.
You know what? I think, I do love that. Every time you show that. The only problem is you can't hold it up the whole time. What you need to do is, I think you need to be like Tom Baker and always wear a scarf.
Oh, all right. Like a podcaster scarf of my own making.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I like this idea a lot. Hey, let me tell you something I did before we dive in today. Played a whole lot of a game over the weekend, more than I thought I would, just because I got lost in it. And I know I've already recommended it, and at the end of the year, for our best of year thing that we did, I gave an honorable mention because it's still in early access, so technically not released, to Shipbreaker, Hard Space Shipbreaker. Man, just could sit there and do that for hours, which I did. I played like, I don't know, 5.5 hours on Saturday or something, and just got lost in it, which has been nice. My mom had some pretty gnarly surgery. We've been trying to kind of twiddle our thumbs waiting to hear back on what's going on. We can't go to the hospital because they don't let us in. So there's that whole thing going on. So instead, I played a lot of Shipbreaker, dude. I salvaged, I can't tell you how many ships, just ship after ship, and paying down
you
my debt.
You changed the world.
Oh my gosh, and I finally got good with tethering. Tethering is the freaking bomb. Upgrade your tethering as soon as you can, people in that game, because basically, once you get tethering down, big giant chunks of stuff that take forever to move manually and get thrown into the burner or into the salvager or down into the big tray thing, you just start tethering that stuff. So you get the first one, you put a tether on it, and then you aim your tether down there and let go. And now you got a tether and it's pulling it into the furnace. And while it's pulling it in, you tether another giant chunk of that ship to that chunk and it pulls it in because there's all this, you know, velocity just happening in space. Everything's just moving. And slowly they all get pulled in there. And for the first time ever, I got rid of every single gram / ounce / whatever measurement you want to use of that entire ship got put in all of its places, and it sure felt good.
Oh, look at you OCD and organizing, take it from one pile.
It's so good. I also screwed up really bad because they put in some new ships with the latest patch, and they're awesome. These great big freighter things. They take a lot longer to do, but they have a ton of money involved, so it's a great thing to do. And they have a new kind of reactor in them, the thing that powers the damn thing. So they have these basically nukes strapped to them, and if you're not careful with them, they'll go off and you're hosed. And anyway, I didn't realize that ones on these more advanced ships had like multiple panels I had to take off of this thing first, and then inside of there, there's some electronic stuff I got to get like down there and turn off. And then decouple it and then throw it into the thing. So I didn't do all that. I just went straight to decoupling it and pulling it in. And it set off a chain reaction and ended up causing a nuclear explosion, which killed me. And I didn't see it because I was dead. But when I came back out with my next life, it's just little bits of shit everywhere. That's the reason why I tethering. I know. I screwed up bad. So anyway, that game is freaking great. I don't know what happens when your debt's paid off. I still owe over 900 million or billion or whatever it is. Wow. It's ridiculous numbers. Like it's
and that's Hard Space colon Shipbreaker, right?
Yeah, it's so good, you guys. It's so good.
And it's so good, you guys. It came out this past year, right? Is it, you say it's still in early access.
Early access so. Last year. It'll be out. I assume they're going to hit 1.0 this year and take it out of early access. Yeah.
$25. They're giving it away.
Yep. There's even this mode. I tried it. I'm terrible. I was like somewhere in the terrible part of the leaderboards, but they have a race mode. And you can just go in there I think it's weekly. Yeah. Once a week you go in and you have a lot of games. There's like a, you know, beat the high score mode or whatever for that week or whatever the weekly challenge is. Basically they give you a ship. Everyone gets the exact same ship, same conditions, same setup. And your job is to disassemble it and get the proper work order done. Plus as much money as possible and do it all within the fastest time. So it's a time mode. And I thought I did all right. I'm in there, got stuff tethering off that direction, stuff blowing over there, I'm flying underneath and taking off these little couplers and making big money on these thrusters and all this stuff, sending it down to the salvager, doing all this business. And then I check out, I'm done. I go out to the thing thinking, all right, let's see where I am. Am I in like I might be in the top 100 or something. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
I'm thousands and thousands and thousands of people down.
This game is really popular. I didn't think it was when you mentioned it the first time. I'm like, nah, this is just something Scott's into. He likes space games.
No, this is real, man.
25 of my friends on Steam already on this game. 24 want this game.
Yep.
And 4 people actually recommend it. Scott's not one of them.
Yeah, I would never recommend things on Steam because I'd never get involved in that crap. But I would if I did. I will say this. Let's see.
But Ned Stark suggested, no, I'm sorry, that's not Ned Stark.
This thing sold really well, is my understanding. And then there's that weird rumor that this is based on the Homeworld universe, which I don't know if that's been confirmed yet. I don't know how that's going. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It has a feel of that world, and there's just a grind to it that feels right. It's a good kind of grind. Oh, baby. You go in, you open up the portal door on the side of a ship, and it goes, air pressure and dropping, or whatever. You go into the little portal, what is that called? Airlock. You go into the airlock, door shuts behind you, like the one they blew out in Sunshine, we just watched for Film Sack. And you get in there, and you open up the inside one, and there's like particulates and just crap floating inside that ship, and soda bottles and stuff, because someone's a pig who last used it. And then you turn off the air regulators, and then all that stuff just goes, and cleans out, and now you know you're safe to cut holes in the side of the hull and not have the thing like explode and kill everybody. It's just great. Gosh dang
it! It is. God, and I need to escape so bad. And this is space is always a favorite place of mine. Space games are always a favorite place to escape.
Yeah, that's one of my games today. In fact, which we'll get to here in a minute. But very, very happy with it. I wanted to hear first, though, before we get to our games. You were in the market and had been telling me back and forth in private messages that you were close to narrowing down what monitor you were going to upgrade to.
Correct.
What did you end up doing? Because it sounded to me like you were in eval mode and ready to send something back and then get something else and try that. And if it didn't work, send it back. Like, what'd you do?
You nailed it, Scott. Well, in these times of the COVID, I couldn't really get to a real store. So I had to choose between Walmart or a place called Carolina Liquidators, which is a local place, and they purchase items from different locations, usually overstock and that kind of thing. And I'm everything at Worth the Mail is taking like almost a month every time I turn around. It takes forever to get anything. I want satisfaction now. So I went to Carolina Liquidators and I found a Samsung VA panel. I didn't know anything about different panels going in. I only knew stuff about refresh rate. I had a very narrow idea of what I wanted. And I went in and got one from there. And then I went to Walmart and got a TN gaming panel because it had a high refresh rate. And it was called a gaming panel.
Mm. Yeah.
Came home, hooked them both up. One was a little larger than the other, which was good. One was 24, one was a 32. And I thought, oh, it's going to be all about, you know, whether or not I like the refresh rate on one, because one only has 60 frames per second or 60 hertz, and the other one had 144. The gaming panel was so washed out. It's an LG. I was it like a laptop monitor to me. Mm-hmm. While it had better specs,
yeah,
and apparently the you know, the refresh rate was like 1 millisecond or something. Like that. It was way down there. Now I'm not a competitive gamer.
No.
So when I looked at what's that now?
I said, no, you're more of a, and I wouldn't call you a casual gamer. I would just say no. You're in it for the funs. You're not there to beat anybody. You just want to have a good time.
Atmosphere.
Yeah.
My favorite games are atmospheric. And when I, you know, I like Lost Space games. And so I'm never really, I don't need Twitch, you know, fast response time. If, as long as it's within 4 milliseconds, I'm fine. I'm not trying to beat nobody. And the color was so much better.
Hold on, atmospheric games. Boy, Brian, do I have a recommendation for you in a little game called Hard Space Shipbreaker. All right, go ahead.
I should go check that out. Yeah. Now, I did want an IPS panel, but there was no IPS panels to be had locally. And plus, they're a little more expensive, and the refresh rate gets even a little slower as you go further away. So the VA panel. So like I said, I didn't even think the panel type was going to be my biggest question mark when I was looking for monitors. Turns out it was. Sent that one back, that LGTN gaming panel. Bye. VA panel for me, baby. Samsung. I got a Samsung 32-inch VA panel coming new because I bought this one from Carolina Liquidators. And for good reason, somebody had boxed it back up because they apparently must have, I don't know how they jabbed almost a hole in the front of the screen, but they did. So there's like a big, it's not like oops, there's a pixel turned off. It's like about 5 pixels wide, maybe about 3 pixels tall, where it looks like somebody just stabbed something into it. Still works.
Did you know these are sold as refurbed or used? Or?
Yeah, they're sold at a discount. Okay. So I got this for like $150 where it usually sells for about $220. And so I knew I was a risk. I have 30 days to return it. They said, no problem. You don't like it, just bring it back. So that's exactly what I did. So I'm holding on it until my other one comes in from Best Buy this week, and I'll be good to go.
All right. This has been a fun thing to watch, to see you narrow down what you're going to do. I can tell you this. Think,
There's like all kinds of specs and stuff you can read about monitors and video cards, and they may just not fit your particular taste. And to me, I got to have color over response time.
Interesting.
That's just me.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I ended up with just briefly. And I'm glad on the one hand, but a little sad on the other. So I've had it for a while now, but I sprung last year for a G-Sync enabled. I guess they all do G-Sync now because GeForce is like...
This is what I had to learn. They don't all do G-Sync. G-Sync is very narrow. The FreeSync, which is the AMD version, supports... Almost all those models support the G-Sync.
Right. So there's like a weird, right there. G-Sync is specific. And at the time I got it, it was right before they announced that FreeSync announced that they were going to go ahead and work well with G-Sync capabilities on GeForce cards. So at the time I was like, G-Sync, FreeSync. And I ended up going with this LG 32-inch 16x9. I didn't do like a big wide one. Not really into that. I have that for production stuff over here for podcasting, but it's just not my jam for gaming. Anyway, so I got that. And the two things I splurged for there was G-Sync, which is buttery smooth and amazing, but also refresh rate, or rather hertz. Hertz. No, that's refresh rate. I get 100.
Yeah, it lines up. So yeah, it,
144
it's all married.
Yeah, I did 144 hertz, and man, oh man. Is that smooth? Like it is so smooth. My eyeballs really love watching everything happen, including just being out in windows and dorking around. Like everything is so silky smooth.
Do you know what panel it uses? Is it an IPS panel? Most likely.
I don't know. How
did you spend more than $400?
I may have spent close to $500, but it wasn't much more than that.
It's probably IPS then.
Okay. It doesn't have UHD though, which is the thing I didn't jump for, which was another $100 and something for the version that had it. And I'm not that sad, although I do have that on my TV and it's pretty impressive. And now I kind of regret not having it. I don't regret that much. It's fine. It's no big deal. But UHD, not on this particular display.
My new one will be, does have UHD. I'm kind of excited. Okay, I'm also nervous.
Well, there you are though. That's your color over response time. You're good.
I know, but I'm still very nervous because you don't understand how a panel has bright spots until you actually see it, because that's not something they talk about. They don't talk about when you're buying a monitor how, you know, how the backlight looks, mm-hmm. or how the you know, they may have spots like mm-hmm. over in a corner or on the bottom. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And that's annoying. And you don't know what's going to happen until you get the monitor like, "Oh, this is BS."
It is annoying. So, there you have it. Monitors, they matter. It's the part you look at. You have to look at it.
Yeah.
If you're going to play a PC game, got to have something to look at on it. So we don't have to deal with old CRT freaking 900-pound 72-inch monitors anymore, do we? It's nice. We live in a new time, a new place, a new world. So enjoy it.
I still have a hernia from the last one I had.
Damn straight. Now this. All right. Can I play something for you just for fun? This is so dumb, please. But I have to play it. So I found this GLaDOS voice generator.
Ooh.
Let's see if you can understand what it says. All right. So here.
Ryan likes to eat poop, but it does not have to be his own poop. It can be from anyone, so long as it is poop.
Now, I'm not sure whose name it says.
It's supposed to say Brian, and I've spelled it like your name, B-R-I-A-N, but it says Brian or Byron or something. Hold on.
Byron.
Brian.
That's pretty, that is old school right there. Now, I use Linux to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's not GLaDOS. It's just the Google.
I just found this website that'll take various computery sounding voices from video games. So there's stuff for Half-Life. There's stuff for, I forgot them all. There's a ton of them. And you can choose what character from these games you want to do it in. And then you type out some text. You heard what I typed out about Brian likes deep poop. And then and then it generates it. And then you get an MP3 and then you can play it. And I was trying to do something cool with it, but it could never get your name right. It didn't even matter if I did like phonetic spellings of your name. It was always Brian. Like, it doesn't know how to do Brian.
It's really hard with names. Now, so a common name like Brian, I would think they would have baked that in. But yeah, it's really hard to recognize those.
Yeah, it was weird. But I had a feeling if I had to use my own name, it would have worked fine, but I didn't.
Yeah, I actually did that today. There's a lot of built-in tools in Linux, and one of the ones I had was in the repository. I downloaded it, and it allowed me to create WAV files for my incoming emails from other coworkers. So I always do that. I do a real quick loop through all my people, and it'll say incoming email from Scott Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I love doing that because it makes it so much easier for me, because I don't always hear it. You know what I mean? I don't always hear when I get an email ding.
I don't
so
either.
Many dings, I ignore them.
I turn most of that stuff off. So
right.
But I don't, whenever I get a Discord from you, I always get it every time.
Oh yeah.
Every time. I've got you on a list of like, if he Discords me.
Oh, nice.
Then I answer. Right,
I worry about that
now.
Because I worry. I'm like, oh, what if he surely silences his notifications when he's sleeping? Because, you know, we're on different areas, and I'll get up at like 5 o'clock, and I know it's like 3 o'clock your time in the morning.
3 a.m. Yeah. Here.
And I went to reply to you this morning. I was like, Scott asked me a question last night. I'm like, oh, respond right now. And I'm like, ooh, what if he doesn't?
Well, what's worse is if it's 7 there, which isn't that unreasonable, but it's 5 here. Mm. So unless I'm up getting the cows taken care of, I appreciate your willingness to hold off. All right. I'm going to tell you about a game. I'm very excited about this. Something I've been watching for a while. I did not play it when it was being offered around as a demo as part of the Steam Day stuff. Or Steam, what's that called? The Steam, they have a thing every year where it's like the Steam.
Oh, the Steam Awards.
It's
or
Adventure Steam. Everyone play a bunch of Steam shit you're not going to see for a long time. What's that called? Steam Days.
Steam Days.
Steam Play. The Market of Steam Units, whatever it is. this was part of that. It's also a sequel. It was also crowdfunded. So was the original. The game I'm talking about is Everspace 2. Now, a lot of
so
you are
excited.
Gonna go, a lot of you are going to go, no, wait a minute. Scott's talking about another space game. Hot damn, I am. I love space games. Yeah. What I really like is older, like I loved Freelancer. I love almost any kind of game where I got to go mine stuff, kill stuff, advance my ship, get better parts, trade, at the stations I go visit, you know, dogfight when I need to, this sort of stuff. I love games like that. Huge fan. Mm-hmm. I really liked Everspace 1, but Everspace 1, for all of its qualities, was really just an FTL ripoff in beautiful 3D.
Right.
And I shouldn't say ripoff. It had some of its own ideas. But for the most part, that game was like, uh-oh, warped in the new system before we're dead. Okay, we're in the new system. Clear it out and get all the stuff before it gets overrun by enemies, and then get the H out of here again and move to the next system and move to the next system. If you die, you start over, but you have kind of roguelike stuff that kicks in and you can go out better next time. That is not what they made this time. This is not Everspace. It's almost not that game at all.
No, it looks good.
It's beautiful. I'll give it. That's where they're similar. Both games are gorgeous. But they're
kinda
not.
It reminds me of X4, but not.
A little bit. X4 is a little more like, I don't know. X4 bums me out because I really like what it wants me to play, but it's not. Yeah, it's just in practice, it doesn't work. It's just a little. It's just too comp. It's too far up its own butt, that game, unfortunately. And so, you know, some people have said, well, what are the controls like? What, you know, because for people who are looking like for really high tech, technical simulation of space travel and stuff, that stick with Elite Dangerous or something, because that's not what this is. Mm-hmm. This is meant to be accessible controller. If you have it, keyboard and mouse, if you want, you can use joysticks and flight sticks if you want, but none of it is meant to be like uber realistic. Think of it as like the difference between, I don't know, Star Citizen and Star Wars. Star Wars is a lot more about the theme and the excitement and the fun. Whereas if you're looking for a simulator, I don't know if this is going to do it for you. But anyway, that's the thing I actually like about it. I like that it's simple to control. But here's the difference. So FTL in 3D was the first game. This game is like, this is a full-on freelancer style game. Like, this is them saying, come to the station, grab some missions, go do those missions. That what's the outlaw game?
Rebel Outlaw
Rebel,
Galaxy.
Rebel Galaxy
like
Outlaw.
I had the words. I wasn't sure if I had in the right order.
That's a close analog to what we're talking about here. And that game is a lot like these older, you know, freelancer and other games I can't think of right now. But they're and ultimately, I mean, at some point, even maybe now, the current state that Star Citizen is this kind of game, right? Just a bigger, grander take on it. This isn't that big or grand, but it does have all of those elements. And to top it off, it's got really great mechanics with shooting and navigation and that sort of stuff. And it has a loot system, so you're always getting better weapons, better gear, better augments, better shielding, better. More ships are coming down the road. This launched in early access, even though originally they had planned to launch it right around the time Cyberpunk launched, and it was supposed to be around then. And then this got pushed because of that. But then also they decided to do a bit of a run in early access. So far, it feels pretty feature complete. I'm not running into any problems or bugs. It's very pretty.
This released yesterday.
Just yesterday.
On MLK Day, right?
Yep. I played it for 3 hours. I wanted to get a real good taste before we're here. And I will say that I'm very happy with it so far. It's a big departure from that FTL template. It's not like that now. Mechanically, you're still flying a lot the same. You're still navigating the same. But this feels like Freelancer or these kinds of games with loot and quests and story. There's a bunch of story in this thing. I'll play some audio in a second that'll give you a taste of that. If it has a weakness for me, there are two of them. One is, I think the writing of the story, the acting's okay, but the writing's pretty bad. I don't think they're from here. And by that, I think there's some translation.
English isn't their native.
Yeah,
right,
I think there's some
language.
I think there's some localization happening that's just making some of it sound a little awkward. And
right.
Again,
and this is Rockfish Games. Yeah. So where are those guys? Are they?
I don't know where
they're located. Swedish.
Swedish. They might be. This is all they've ever done. Are these two games? As far as I know, I shouldn't say that because I don't actually know.
Watch it be like someplace like Southern California.
They've done like 50 games. They're all in SoCal. Great. Yeah.
This is Everspace 2, by the way.
Yeah, Everspace 2. Didn't I say that? I thought I said that.
You probably did, but you know.
But anyway, like you can see on the video right now, people watching in the chat, you're looting old
Hamburg,
derelict
Germany.
Ships. Hamburg, Germany. There you go. That makes sense to me.
Hamburger, Germany.
Hamburger, Germany. My favorite town. Okay, so I was going to say this about it. If all that sounds interesting to you, like the kind of game that it is, meaning this freelancer, I keep saying freelancer, go look it up if you don't know what game I'm talking about, but this kind of game with like a kind of an open world open universe, I should say, different kinds of missions to go do, really intense dogfighting.
I don't know if you're watching the video that you're playing right now, but it's, it's all this interior stuff.
Yeah, he's in an asteroid at the moment right now.
That is cool. I know, isn't that cool? I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a lot of stuff like that in the game. A lot of really neat environments. Even the stuff that's in space, they get pretty trippy with at times. The first game was a little more fiddly about finding the resources you need to jump to the next place. Again, it was very FTL. And if you haven't played FTL, this is not going to make much sense. But FTL is definitely one of those. And this game is trying not to be that this time. This trying to be this grander, bigger, open worldy kind of thing. And I think it's succeeding so far. Other than a little bit of weird writing. And I don't think the music's great. I love good space music in my video games. Not sure it's working for me here. It's okay. It's just sort of...
I like something very subdued and just kind of...
Yeah, same. Pinky, you know? Same. I usually, what I've done here is I've turned it way down because I'm just like, all right, this battle music is pretty repetitive.
Does it get loud?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know. It's like JRPG battle music. It's just the same every time. So that's kind of frustrating. But visually, it's gorgeous. Control's great. I'm playing with a controller. I tried it with mouse and keyboard. Both are fine. Just depends on your preference. Now, it looks incredible
I'm watching the game fly a little bit. And it doesn't appear to be very floaty at all. It seems to be very, like, wherever you're at, your ship seems to stabilize automatically on its own.
You have full 360 XY axis, like, movement. Up, down, whatever. There's nothing locked on a plane. But what it does do, how do I put this? It's not like Euclidean physics in space.
Right.
Where, you know, you're truly having to deal with all the challenges that gravity throws at you and worried about what systems are using what thrusters and how much fuel you have and all that stuff. A lot of that stuff simplified. If I had to compare it to anything else, it would be like, what was that game you and I just talked about not long ago? Where you're underground and you're free space. You got the ships.
Are you gnomes or are you like a Deep Rock Galactic?
No,
or?
You're in ships and you're inside of places.
Oh yeah. I have a VR version.
Descent.
It was pretty.
Descent.
Yes, it. Descent.
Gosh,
yeah.
Dang it! It controls that like Descent. There.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like how Descent controls. That's pretty good control scheme.
Yeah, I like it too. It's just really tight and, you know, feels good. The art's nice. The character art is really good. Their interstitial stuff right now all says work in progress, but it all looks pretty good to me. The different weapon types are really cool. Keeping track of your energy and your warp and all that poop is something to keep your eye on. I really like it. They describe it as this: a fast-paced single-player spaceship shooter with deep exploration in space and planets, tons of loot, RPG elements, mining and crafting, experiences a thoughtful story. Well, sorry. Experience a thoughtful story set in a vivid, handcrafted open world of secrets, puzzles, and perils. That sounds like something German would say.
Just from watching the gameplay, too, this already seems to be standing out to me as its own thing. I was worried this was just going to be another muddled version of whatever, like X4, like we talked about. Yeah. I love X4.
Yeah.
But it's a bit much. You could certainly live in there, but I don't want to dedicate my every waking hour to one game.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is going to give you, it's going to scratch a lot of those itches for a lot of people who understand my adoration of such games. So very excited about it. I think there's, you know, the polish they need is not so much in the gameplay. I think it's just in some story stuff, but even that stuff's still better than most average stories for games this. Big fan so far. Very excited to keep playing it, and I'm going to highly recommend it. Here's a little sound so you can hear some of this sweet acting, okay? So these are the actors doing some acting.
Do a barrel roll.
Approaching extraction area. All miners stay in formation. Wingman, you take up the rear.
Understood.
Taking up the rear, he said.
Scrap. He's not a wingman if he's taking the rear.
What's wrong?
Booster jammed. Could use a push.
Hey, Ben, we've got a clunker back here.
Got it. Let's meet near a ship.
Okay. It's a lot of, hey, your ship seems to be doing a thing. Oh, those aliens poured it in. We've got trouble. It's a lot of that. It's fine. It's just swashbuckly and spacey.
It's serviceable.
Yeah, totally serviceable. I mean, I never come into these expecting the stories to just blow my frickin' mind or adhere to whatever Blade Runner idea I have about how people would talk in the future or whatever. That just doesn't happen in video games very often. Maybe Star Citizen single player thing they're working on will do that. That'd be great. I'll look into it when it happens. Right now, that thing's still, I don't know what that is. I don't know what Star Citizen is.
Right.
So, yeah, go check it out. It's available now on Steam.
Early access.
Yesterday, $39.99. And I was in the minute it came out, I was like, yeah, I'm getting this game. Yeah. I'm just buying this.
I saw it was coming out and I was like, oh, how to get that. And I'm like, oh, no way does Scott not pick this for his next.
Oh, hell,
I'm
like, yeah, dude. Hell,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not going to step on any toes. Stay in your lane, Brian.
Yeah.
Stay.
In fact, you were like, oh, you're playing it already. Damn it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm playing it.
That was sarcasm. Yeah. I knew you'd be playing it. Yeah. I would have been shocked if you hadn't.
Well, it's really good, so go check it out. Brian, I also want to hear all about Skellboy Refractured, please.
Skellboy Refractured came out last year on the Switch, but it was just called Skellboy. Now they have released it on PC just Wednesday, January the 13th, and they call it Refractured because it's pretty much the same game, but they've added some more content and they've added some randomly generated dungeons, which you'll see me playing here in a moment. This is a voxel type game where you have characters that appear to be two-dimensional, but they're not in a three-dimensional space. You're playing as Skippy, an undead character who was brought back to life by Square-amon. Yeah, that's like Sauron, except is in squares because everything in this game is cube-based.
Mm.
So a lot of cubes makes sense with the voxels. Your
it's
health.
More, it's more like diorama style and not like Minecraft style.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, it's like they decided only to go like too deep on the depth, and everything else is still square. So it looks almost like maybe like a Paper Mario in like a 3D world, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah, I could see that.
Kind of like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is a lot like the more recent Paper Mario's very much are like that. There is definitely that vibe here for sure.
Right. And it's got its own style, and it's got that locked in camera thing that everybody loves because, you know, you've locked yourself into this style. You gotta own it, and you gotta realize that you have to have a locked camera or people will get lost and they won't be able to see anything. So you're reassembled or brought back to life. You're undead. It's Skippy, brought back to life by Square-amon. Like I said, Square-amon.
Wait, who's Skippy? And, Skippy is your guy? That's your dude?
That's my guy right there. I'm Skippy. I got a Skippy. Sword.
Okay.
I've got a head. I'm three items tall.
I have a sword and I've got a head. I'm ready to go.
It makes sense. You don't think it makes sense. Actually, I should have said I've got legs and I've got a sword. I'm ready to go because the game starts off. You're just a head and a torso. And the first mission you have to accomplish is to get yourself some feet. Now, how you get those feet, you got to have feet so you can jump is their excuse. But I'm like, hey, if I don't have feet, how am I getting over there to my feet? Well, that's what you do. You just slide over and you get your feet and you put them on. So there are three. This character is three tall, meaning there's three items that make up the Skellboy, a head, a torso, and feet. And as you go along, how you progress is you kill the bad guys and they fall apart because they're also three stack. You take you then swap out parts.
Is this so you going in and out of a door over and over? Is
that this was so infuriating. Because the
I know
person
what you
who
did,
designed
the,
this,
because the thing goes back. It's like a backwards. You're going forward to get through it, and then now you're behind it. But if you keep going forward, you're going to go back.
Yeah. This is the problem with locked cameras.
Yeah.
Because I got confused so often. By the way, there's a lot of horde fights here, and those are zombies, and they're all cubes. Yeah. They're fairly easy to kill. Sometimes they will drop their heads or torsos or feet, and you can take those things. If you get their feet, they have stinky feet, but they may reduce your number of hit cubes or your life count. So you have to kind of keep fiddling as you go along to try to progress.
You said they have stinky feet. Did I hear that right? They have stinky
feet? Yeah, they have stinky feet. So the zombie has stinky feet, and it takes away. There's a penalty for putting on those stinky feet.
Yeah.
They take, I fell twice in a row, by the way. It really pissed me off. I was really pissed off because you know why? Flat voxels and trying to platform is difficult.
Yeah. I was going to ask, do you think that's a problem in this game? Is that a.
It was. It's so the scale boy refractor. This is what we're doing here. Oh, by the way, those bats are real pain in the ass, too.
Yeah.
Castlevania.
There's a verticality to those bats that I don't like.
There is. You can't hit them just right. They come flying in your face. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
So when you first start this game, it's an action RPG. And so you're doing your action RPG, but it's a little easy when you start. There's almost a prologue at the beginning where you're getting to know the character and the characters in the town. You're in the kingdom of Squaresville. No, that's not right. Everything in this game is a square joke, by the way. If you didn't know, and I'm trying to remember what the name of the stupid town was. It's not Squareville. I'll think of it in a second. You're meeting the town folk. They're all cowards. You're the only hero. You go out and you chop some zombies. It's very easy. You just move straight through. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be bored with this game in a minute because I already knew this game is how long to beat. It's about 8 to 10 hours. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be very satisfied, but it gets increasingly difficult when you get into the dungeon, as you've seen. Now, is that difficulty fun? Sometimes. Sometimes not so much. Mm. Like I said, if it's intentionally difficult, I like it. If it's incidentally difficult because, you know, you're trying to make your stupid flat guy jump over some platforms and you fall down, that pisses me off. Mm. And that's not fun at all. I played at least halfway or more through this game. I enjoyed most of my experience. It just started getting repetitive. I've heard that the end game has a twist and that the end part, the chapter 3 of this game, I'm about midway through chapter 2, that's supposed to be where all the fun and action is supposed to be.
Mm.
I'm going to try to go back and finish playing this next week. But Scaleboy Refractured on Steam now for about $17.99. It's on sale, usually $20. The developer is Umeki Games. I think that's how you say that.
Umeki?
They're awesome. Umeki?
I like it.
I think that's how you say it. I think that's how you say it. Developer and publisher. I did get this game for review through Keymailer. I've enjoyed myself at least 4 hours. So if 4 hours of fun sounds okay for about $18 for you, I think this is probably right on point with this game. By the way, some of your motivations are kind of sketchy, and some of the NPC characters you meet have some really weird storylines. It doesn't all kind of tie in my opinion, very well. Did you start me back over? Because it looks like I'm doing the same stupid stuff over and over again.
No, I didn't start over. You're just there.
There's no way.
You're just doing it
again. I did the exact same thing twice. By the way, like I said, the difficulty level is not too bad. There's not too big of a penalty for the boss fight you have. You wound this.
I swear I didn't. I swear I haven't touched it. I promise you that. I think there's I don't know why. Because you're 7 minutes into this thing, which is about how long we've been running.
Really?
I wonder
if my loop saved or something. Did I save it twice or something?
Yeah, because look here, chat. You guys can see. See right where it is? It's at 7 something.
Yeah.
7:36.
So like I said, there's not a lot of challenge to this game. The boss fights are generally fairly forgiving. I don't like to be overly frustrated in my boss fights, but I do like to feel like I've died more than once to beat a boss. If I only die once to beat a boss, I'm kind of like, that was probably a little too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Penalty for dying is go back to a checkpoint. Usually checkpoints are pretty well placed. So, I mean, you don't get too far without having to hit a checkpoint. Right now, I just picked up the belly pumpkin, which gives you a little boost. It gives you some armor in addition to your health. There's a lot of ways to upgrade your character through these.
Hold on. Did you say the belly pumpkin? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, the belly pumpkin. That's what I just picked up. I replaced my torso, which I think I was walking around with a skeleton torso, which is your basic bits. But then I upgraded to the pumpkin. There you go. There's some statistics. Very simple statistics of upgrades. You can, oh, by the way, there's five different weapon types. Didn't talk about that at all. You have a sword, which is mostly what I used. You can get a lance, which is really just a big giant pencil. And you can throw that and then retrieve it. It's a little frustrating, but it's not too bad. There's a big giant hammer that I use most of the time because it's like really OP. You can walk up to an area and just warm that thing up and just hit it and destroy everything. What's about to happen right there? That was the most challenging part and some of the funniest parts. There's these slimy, almost alien looking characters, and they will randomly fall out of the ceiling when you're in the dungeon. And when they land on your head, it trades out your head and it inverts the controls. So all of a sudden you're going the opposite way, which is a big problem because you're trying to navigate through these areas where there's spikes popping up as a dungeon and pendulum blades and that type of thing. So it did present a challenge, but it didn't take me very long to invert my mind. And, you know, just, I was like, okay, fine. I guess I'll just wear this weird thing. I think it even speeds up my movement. I could be wrong about that.
You do look like you're running faster.
This actually kind of be a perk.
Yeah, you look like you're running faster.
I think I was running faster. And like I said, it did invert my controls, but I was able to adjust pretty quickly to that, you know, because sometimes you have games you just do that with. You just invert the controls. You want to invert the controls? Sure.
Yeah. It strikes me as it looks like it might just be awkward to fight. Is fighting awkward?
It is awkward because as you might guess, trying to understand your place in space when you're playing in a 3D world with a flat character, it gets difficult. It's like, oh, am I right there or not? And because they are flat characters, they just cast these shadows that generally seem to go almost. All the characters and bats and everything seem to cast shadows just straight down. And so it's hard to tell where you are at in space, which is challenging, but easily overcome once you get used to the artistic language of what the game developer is doing here.
Nice.
I would give this game, I would give this game a 6 out of 10.
Ooh, we should start doing a rating.
Average.
We should do a rating, but we should make up a dumb thing for it. What's a cool name for a dumb rating? What should we do?
It's let's see. This is two. I'm going to give this 2 pumpkin bellies out of 4.5.
Okay.
So 2 pumpkin bellies out of 4.5.
Out of 4.5 maximum pumpkin bellies.
Yeah. No one will ever get 5. So let's just go ahead and take that off the table. We're just going to say 4.5 pumpkin bellies. That's where we're going.
I'm going to
A little. Oh, so maybe let me do a math here. So maybe like 2.33 pumpkin bellies.
Well, the problem is now I don't know what to give Everspace 2. What's my? I can't do pumpkin bellies.
What's
what
your
do I
equivalent?
Do? Let's do. That's why we need a standard one. We need like a how many? What's a boop?
Right. What's a boop? I'll give it 3. I'll give it.
3 boops out of 4.5 boops.
Out of a full boop. We should call it a full boop. 5 of us. 5 is a full boop.
Okay.
Yeah. So 5 is a full boop. Did it get a full boop? No. It got half of a full boop.
So just 1 to 5, basically, is what we're saying.
Right. 1 to 5. But we're calling it boops.
I'm giving.
And then we're going to also say there's a full boop. There's a half boop. And then a no boop. You don't want it to be a no boop.
I'm giving it.
Boop.
I'm giving mine a 4. Whatever that is, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it that much. I'm really having fun.
That's pretty good. Like I said, Scaleboy, I mean, the price is on sale. I think at $9.99, I think it's a no-brainer to get Scaleboy. It's good, just fun, and it's a unique experience, and it's a lot of fun. I think you'd really have fun on the Switch. It really seemed like it would.
Does Scaleboy ever become Scaleman? At any point in the game,
I'm sure he will. I don't know because he was Scale Princess. There's a part where you're trying to convince the because you are undead, but you're the only good undead, and so you've got to convince the local kingdom knights and individuals that you're a good person. And one of the ways you do that is you end up finding the princess's wig.
Oh, okay.
And you pose as a princess. I don't know how this ends in this end story because I haven't gotten there yet, but it's it's just a fun, simple, easy game. If you can't justify 9 or $10 or even $15, then you probably won't be happy. I saw one of the game reviews on Steam for this was just that. It was like, this game is $20. Why, you can get this whole list of games for $20, and they were all old games.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was like, oh, that's not.
Well, that fight I never have with anyone because it's useless. It's like,
yeah.
I made a big stink on Twitter today that I don't care how many times that Kingdoms of Amalur remaster game goes on sale. I'm not rebuying it because it's not that different than the 2011 game I got. And I got people going, what if you redid a piece of artwork and then was going to sell it? Would you just do it for free? And I'm like, I don't redo artwork, so it's a bad comparison. Next, please.
Right. And not to mention, you're not forcing anybody to buy it, right?
No, I mean, just get it or don't. Like, get it or don't.
Yeah, or don't.
That's how I look at everything, Brian.
Yeah, our job here is just to, you know, just to go, my opinion is, I think it's this.
Right, and then somebody immediately says, what about Nintendo? They do this all the time. Yeah, they do, and they can get away with it because there's a different level going on there. Kingdoms of Amalur ain't no freaking Mario game, okay?
That's right. Oh, right? By the way, I have some audio clips in there, and you should probably play the second one. And the
your second one was corrupted, I meant to tell you.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, then play the first one, because it kind of gives you a flavor, too.
I'll play this one. Let's see what happened here. Oh, this might be the second one. Hold on. I like the sound.
Oh, you love it, right? You love it. Okay, 4 hours of that.
I think I like the music. I really quite like that music. It's very good.
I like the music too, but it's very repetitive. Even when you go into new areas, there are variations on theme, but it's still pretty much the same music. I like the throwback music, but it does get repetitive and annoying after a while. But that's okay, because in the settings, they've got individual slides for the music and the effects and everything. You can just turn it down.
We support your repetition. It's fine.
Yeah. Scaleboy Refractured on PC now. Pick it up on Steam, $17.99.
Yep. And look for Scaleboy Unlimited coming soon to
Unlimited.
All right. Well, we've done that. Now we do this. Time to play Guess Our Game. Guess My Game, I guess, is how we do it.
Guess Our Games.
Guess Our Games. Brian's going to try to guess what my game is. I'm going to try to guess what his is. They're games from sometime in the past, and sometimes we give hints, sometimes we don't. Today, I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint. This came out in the year 1997. Yep, 97.
Yep.
Yep. And I'll give you platform. I will tell you PlayStation 1. And the third hint I'll give you is this isn't going to help you, but I loved this game.
Oh, in that case, I know what it is. I can name that game in one note.
I don't believe you. So I'm going to play the whole thing. Here it comes. And it's made by one of my favorite developers that no longer exists, but I really liked these guys. Okay, so here you go. Enjoy.
When I was very young, the Earth Empire controlled the skies. The Tsar and his battle fleet saw everything, knew everything, punished everything. Those of us in the colonies never imagined there could be another way. But then, the real slaughter began. Now there are thousands like me, veterans of the League of Free Worlds.
Worlds. Guy had a weird accent. A very weird accent. Okay. What did you, what do you think there? Nobody in the chat's got it.
Yeah, I don't know, but man, the voice acting is fantastic. You say PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1, 1997.
1997.
Yep.
Interesting. I'm assuming it's a space game of sorts.
It is. I've been focused very space gamey lately.
You've been very space gamey. Oh my God.
He used one of the words he said, and he pronounces it weird, but he said a word that's part of the title.
Interesting. Did he say something about,
chat room doesn't have it yet. I'm impressed. Earth Defense Forces, too old. Graftark. Or not too old.
I'm going to go with Space Truckers.
I'd play that in a heartbeat. All right,
I don't know. It's a good question.
I'll give you that developer that I love. They also made the Wipeout games, not the Not the game show Wipeout, but the
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Psygnosis made those. So Psygnosis made this game. We have a winner in the chat, but don't look at it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
what was the czar doing in space, Asbestos? I swear back then they were just like, what's a word that sounds like an evil guy? How about the czar? Okay, put Brace it in.
Czar.
All right, I'll just tell you. The game is Colony Wars.
Oh, Colony Wars. I never played it. I don't even know what that is.
Oh,
what is that?
So good. So it's like combat. In fact, it reviewed really well, too. Like in the high 90s, if you average them.
Oh, wow. I don't remember this at all.
But it was a cockpit style, or you could play it in third person. But basically, you shooting dudes. And it reminded me of X-Wing and things like that. And there really wasn't anything cool like this on a console until then, I thought. And it just played so smooth and looked so good at the time. That
this
I
looks
just
amazing. Yeah, I have I never it. Even I know nothing about this. Zero.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. Did the Wrath get it? Oh, he did. The Wraith got it. Colony Wars, he got it earlier. And then later, Dwight Schrute also got it. So good job, you guys. You did it. But Colony Wars, PlayStation 1, hell of a thing. Brian, I'm gonna play yours now. Any setup here?
Let's see. How about it was the year 2003.
Okay.
Let's see. I think it was on several platforms, Xbox, PlayStation 2, even had an OS X version.
OS X, eh? Wait, what's OS X? You mean OS iOS? Is that what you're talking about?
No. OS X. This is back in 2003.
Oh, OS X. You mean Mac OS. We call it Mac OS today, but you mean like OS 10.
Operating system X,
wasn't
right.
Wasn't it 10? I always thought it was just 10.
Was it 10? No, you can say 10 if you want to. I always call it X, whatever.
All right.
I just read it. I've never heard anybody say it. I don't listen to people.
Yeah, you shouldn't let people suck. Don't listen to people.
Yeah.
All right, here's your thing. I'm going to play it. Here you go.
No, by the way.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Before you do that, this was suggested by Trey.
Oh, thank you, Trey. Thank you, Trey. You're talking to your dinner trays again? Oh, you mean like a guy named Trey. Oh. Okay, here you go. Enjoy. I like this music.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a whip. Oh, it's Indiana Jones. I know this.
Yeah, but which this is, one?
I know this. This is Heart of Atlantis. No, that's a movie.
No.
Indiana Jones and the Land of Atlantic Atlantises. It's something like
the
that.
The Land of Atlantises. Wrong. How about Indiana Jones and the Emperor's New Tomb? No. The Emperor's Tomb. Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb?
I don't even know what this is. What am I thinking of? Chat room. Oh, they said Fate of Atlantis. That is what I'm thinking of. What the hell was this? I don't know what this is.
It's LucasArts. Came out in 2003. I'd never played this game, but it looked amazing from the video I looked of it. And I'm like, ooh, can I get this emulated or something? Do they still have this around? I mean, it's PlayStation 2. Surely they must have it somewhere.
Emperor's Tomb? There it is. I didn't know they even made... I thought this got canceled.
Right?
Are you sure it didn't get canceled?
Oh, I can't say that. All I can say is it's recommended by Trey, and there was plenty of game footage to be had. Over 6.5 hours walkthrough on YouTube. If it got canceled, somebody didn't get the memo.
Okay, Indiana Jones Emperor's Tomb, released on PC, PS2, and Xbox in 2003. The game was very ambitious, great range of environments. Emperor's Tomb is the best modern Indiana Jones game that isn't Lego-based, but frustratingly, it had potential to be far better.
$5.99 on good old games. Add to cart.
Don't remember this at all. Why don't I remember this?
It's a good question. I didn't know it either. But
I guess this would have been about the time that Tomb Raider was owning it. Right?
Must have been.
Yeah.
It's probably about right.
There's an Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade graphic adventure. I would play that. Oh, that's great. But Fate of Atlantis is listed as their best, and that's the one I was thinking of. That's a really good game.
Yes, that's the one I remember as well.
Yeah. It's a lot. People, I mean, I'd put it up there with like Monkey Island, Grim Fandango, those sorts of games. Are you excited about the new one they announced? What do you think of that?
Oh, I'm super excited. I'll tell you, I keep being surprised every week with the games that are coming out. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was even in development. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know it was even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what's fun about it. Fun about video games. There's so much action going on every week.
You know what's great is, let's see, do I have the sound from it? I think I do. Yeah, last week, my classic game was that Indiana Jones game, wasn't it? Didn't I play it here? The arcade game?
Did you play it here?
Maybe I didn't play it here. I don't remember where I did. Oh, that may have been core. But listen to this. I got a little piece of it.
Welcome.
Golly,
is that supposed to be from 2?
Yeah, it's
is
from, that what that, that is? Was Temple of Doom. So there was a Temple of Doom arcade game that had this music.
Oh,
yeah, it was core.
Now, was that the pitfall looking one? Was there one that was like a pitfall looking thing?
Yeah, but that I don't think it's that one. The arcade one was like just run around and hit dudes and save kids, and it was very
right.
They had a lot of racist sounding enemies that would be going that kind of stuff. But then one I think you're thinking of might be this one called, hold on.
Is it called Temple Pitfall? That would be hilarious.
Indiana Jones Greatest Adventures, as the name suggests, Indiana Jones Greatest Adventures levels replicate the original trilogy's most iconic scenes. The Super Nintendo side scroller is similar to Infernal Machines, as it's one of the few Indiana Jones games to focus on platforming. If I gave you this image, you'd probably go, oh yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Here, I'll put it up here for the chat too, so you guys can see it. Pretty sure that, Discord.
Oh yeah, yeah, look at that.
Do you see that?
Look at that, yeah. They got those, what did they do with the Mortal Kombat? When they started capturing characters like that, it looks like that. It looks,
rotoscoping? I don't know if he moved like
it's
that.
Not rotoscoping.
Yeah, they might have. I don't know.
Right.
Hard to say. I'd have to see it in motion. But
God, that looks like trash.
I don't remember half of these. I did like the Indiana Jones Lego games. They were pretty great.
Right.
The original Adventures. Is that what it was called? Yeah, Lego Indiana Jones, the original Adventures is fan-freaking-tastic. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we hope that new one's good. It's made by Machine Games, folks behind the most recent Wolfenstein games, which is weird because those are first-person shooters. Maybe that's what they're making. I don't know. First-person whipping. No one's ever done that, right? So,
it's like I don't understand why they can't just say, hey, you made a really good Spider-Man game. Let's do some Indiana Jones whipping.
Here's what I think they'll do. That's not going to be your main weapon. If it's a shooter, you'll always have that whip for grappling, tripping dudes, grabbing a guy by the neck, yanking him to you, whatever. But you're still going to have a gun. If you think about it, Indiana Jones always had a damn pistol, so it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
And they're not going to have... I bet they don't end up having Harrison Ford do the voice. I bet they don't. I bet they end up with...
I kind of hope they don't. I mean, I love Harrison Ford. But he's at an age now. It's going to sound like an old man.
Yeah. Right?
Narrating it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. It's fine. We all age. We all get older.
Oh, we definitely do. No question about that. I'm trying to find... I was trying to find that line I have on our recent film sack where he gets all mad for Air Force One, and I can't find it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with age, and everybody does it. However...
Yeah, we're all old.
Admit when you're not the right... in the role anymore. Like, it's really easy to see when an aging actor is dating some actress in a movie that is, like three times younger than them. Why can't we see it?
I think you're not wrong. I mean, it's fine. Everyone gets older, and then we should do so gracefully. Just don't put Shia LaBeouf or LaBeouf in there. Don't do that. No LaBeouf.
I'm going to say, my feelings on that. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Giant ants and all. It's fine.
Is it okay with you?
Crystal Skull.
It's fine.
It's okay. I mean, it's stupid, but it's okay. It's fine.
I can't find my plane. Get off my plane. Can't find it.
Who cares? Just fly the plane.
No, that's not it.
That's a good one, too.
How about get off of my plane? Here we go.
Get off my plane.
Yes, that sword belongs in a museum, Dad. Like, we need somebody who's all grubbly like that.
Yeah.
I also spelled it plane. That's why I couldn't find it. Okay. that's it for your games and for your guessings and your fun stuff there. Now we dive into this. Yeah, that's right. An email correspondence from a listener. This person's name is Jacob, and he asks a very simple question. Dear Scott and Brian, what is your current comfort game? Signed, Jacob. Now, Jacob, I already told you mine, but I'll say it again. Hard Space Shipbreaker is my current comfort game. I find that game so chill and so easygoing that I could just do it, have a movie on in the background, listen to some music or a podcast, whatever I want to do. Just let Shipbreaker do its thing. Totally my zen out game of the moment. And I think you might find it that for you as well. Brian, what do you like to just chill, get into and chill?
Well, so if I'm trying to, I was thinking about this, if I'm trying just to, you know, waste a little bit of time or get my mind right, if I'm just like, okay, I've got to stop thinking about things, and I'm going to hop on my iOS device, and I'm going to play Good Night Story. It's just a match three battle game. Very simple. I've been playing it for a couple of months now, and I still haven't reached the pinnacle. I'm getting very close.
It chills you out, like, though, right? Like, it makes you just kind of, here's my happy place.
You just forget. Yeah, it's like I've forgotten all my problems because I'm concentrating, but not concentrating so much. But with that being said, also, on every device that I own, my PC, my Xbox, my PS4, everywhere that I have No Man's Sky that I have purchased, I have it loaded up. Because at a moment's notice, if I want to really just escape, that's where I go.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody's here today. I'm just going to hit No Man's Sky and just pretend like nothing exists.
I think those are all good choices. I also really lose myself in the Hitman games. Despite those sounding like they would be intense, I find them kind of cathartic and chill.
Are you up for the latest one?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready, man. I cannot wait for 3. And 3 is going to integrate all the previous two games' levels into the game, as well as all the new stuff. And the reviews so far are screaming good. PCGamer.com, I just read today, said the following. Where is it? Hitman 3 review. Gave it a 90. Says IO's most creative and surprising Assassin Sim yet. They go on to say things like, if I can find it, here it is. IO has some amazing surprises up its sleeve, and one level in particular might be the studio's masterpiece. This kind of talk makes me excited.
And did it?
Beautiful, did it, deep, did it, endlessly
have they pushed
replayable.
It back because it was originally supposed to come out January the 19th, which would be today, right? So did they push it back?
Wait, did it come out today? Hold on.
I think it must be pushed back because unless it's getting somewhere first, like Epic or something crazy. I don't think so. I don't remember hearing anything
like
that.
It might be. All the reviews are coming out today. Maybe it hit today.
Yeah, but it still says pre-order on the official Hitman 3 website, so I think it might be pushed back just for a little
bit. Would I have to get this on Epic? I would, huh?
Yeah. Free Rangers in chat room says it comes out tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to get it.
Chat room news.
I'm gonna have to get it. I gotta get it.
You gotta get it. You gotta get it right now.
Oh my gosh, I want to play that game. Do I get it on my Series X or a PC? I gotta decide. I know.
That's a Yeah, that's a tough one.
I know.
Oh, I don't know. I guess, okay, so they're not going to have it on Steam. So if you want it for the PC, you got to get it at the Epic Game Store.
I don't care. That doesn't bother me. I don't care at all.
If you don't, that doesn't bother you?
No.
Then I would say get it on the PC.
I mean, it doesn't matter. To me, it's a PC game store. You're buying it on PC. You're playing it there. It's like either way, I don't care where I get it.
Man, people are so I still can't believe I'll get on Steam. And I still can't believe how mad people will get. Like there's a game called Among Trees, which I'm playing next week, and they decided to release on the Epic Game Store because it's a better deal for developers. And oh my God, don't go to the forums on the Steam because it hasn't released there yet. Man, those people hate Epic.
Oh yeah, no, they do. They all have these really strong opinions based mostly on that's not my
not even strong
tribe.
Opinions, like burn in hell kind of opinions.
I don't have any. The way I look at it is it's a weird thing to have loyalty about, like,
yeah,
it's just a PC game store, just like Steam is. I mean, Brian famously said not that many years ago,
I don't like Steam.
And he meant it. That recording is from 2006.
I don't like Steam.
That's you talking like in 2006.
I don't like it.
You've come around and said this now.
I love Steam.
You've changed it. But we all had our down times and our up times or whatever. I just want a game to play, and I want it to look great on this 3080 I got now. And I want it to look... that's why, you know what? I am getting it on PC because that new card needs a workout. We're doing that.
I think so. I think the Series X is nice and all, but I think in the long run, I think you're going to be happier if it's on the PC.
Yeah. Everyone.
If you upgrade your PC, you could take advantage of that. You're never going to upgrade the Xbox Series X, right?
It's just the idea of getting like polarized about such dumb stuff, stuff. Like,
oh my gosh, kiddo! And why did they get mad at the developer? That was the part I didn't really understand. I mean, if you like, oh, I hate the Epic ecosystem. I hate it to death. I'm fine with that.
I don't care. Like, yeah, if you don't like it, fine. All I know is
I don't want a launcher.
If I have to buy something there, it shows up in a thing, and I click it and it plays. Honestly, it's all I need. Are there features I like about Steam? Absolutely, of course there are.
Yeah.
Not really talking about that. I mean, you can have a decent argument, but people want to just have these tribal like fights and throw snowballs at each other. You may as well be Genesis versus SNES people back in the 90s. F those guys too. I hated that too. And I don't want to hear about why you think Coke's better than Pepsi while I drink this Diet Dr. Pepper. I don't want to hear about it.
Your Diet Dr. Pepper.
Lame.
What a rebel.
Yeah. Get past it, man.
Yeah. Like I said, developer hate in general. Usually the things that we hate are the publisher's fault. We rarely hate the developer, but we blame the developers a lot of times.
Well, sometimes they're the same. CD Projekt Red is
sometimes
kind of licking their wounds after.
Yeah, that was a bad example. But yeah,
it's not going great. Yes, Cherry Diet Dr. Pepper is really good. Fastidious.
Ooh,
this is
you
only,
got that.
This is only Diet, no Cherry, but I would love Cherry in there.
I could never find the Cherry one.
I know they're hard to get.
I know they exist.
I ran a poll, by the way, during the show. I forgot to tell you this. Let me refresh the results and tell you what we got here. Okay, we had some votes about sizes of screen. Here are your listing of most popular on down. The biggest number of votes, 44%, went to 32-inch with an aspect ratio of 12:9. Next in line, surprisingly to me, was a 32-inch or more 21:9 widescreen monitor at 33%. Then we had votes for 42-inch at 11%, not listed 11%, and the 24 got none. No one's buying 24s anymore.
Yeah, I picked up a 24 because I was going dual screen. I said, I'll just go dual screen. There's no sense in doing this. This is in my budget, and I can buy two, and it's going to have the refresh rate that I want.
Yeah.
Boo. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I'm going to put that up on Twitter and get some more votes, but because I'm just sort of curious about it.
I had debated on the ultra wide stuff that I had seen out there, but I was just like, oh, it just seems like, and I'm totally ignorant to it. I did zero research. All I knew is that I'm like, oh, anytime you step outside the standard, you're just begging for a headache.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I mean, they may have all that figured out. I don't know.
They may, but they probably don't. But they may. But they probably don't.
But they probably don't.
But they probably don't. But they may. They bang.
Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, they probably don't. Okay. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for watching and listening and hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. A reminder that you too can send your emails in just like Jacob here. Do it at boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. You can also find us on the web, frogpants.com/boop. And give us a follow on our Twitch channels. I'm at Frogpants. Brian's at Brian Dunaway.
Hi.
And follow us on Twitter, Boop Show for the show. I'm at Scott Johnson. He's at the Brian Dunaway. For Twitter. Think of the T and the as Twitter. See, T, the and Twitter both have T's. See?
Nailed it.
That's how you know that. And then his Twitch. Oh, Twitch also has a T. Shit. Well, anyway, Brian Dunaway on Twitch. Frog pants for me. That's going to do it for us. Brian, anything real wise or interesting you want to say before we go?
I'm going to give it 2.33 boops out of 4.5.
We'll come up with a better system, everybody. Don't worry. I don't know
what
it'll be. It'll be great. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time right here on The Boop Show. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.